Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Another day, another dollar. That's right. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Happy Hump Day. That's right. It's already Wednesday, November 8th. Wow. Two more days until the weekend, right? Just get over the hump. We have a great show, a great hour in store for all of you sports enthusiasts out there, as we, of course, will recap last night's college football playoff rankings. The second batch of rankings have been put out there. We still got three more until the final rankings will be revealed, and we know exactly who exactly will be playing for a chance at the national championship. But right before ESPN Sports Center, and even right before, I don't know if you guys caught the 30 for 30 last night, but the Nature Boy Ric Flair 30 for 30 was absolutely amazing. Absolutely loved it. But before that, of course, you saw Reese Davis in the game, Kirk Herbstreit, David Pollock, all those guys gather around the studio and evaluate the new rankings. Not much changed. Well, I should say not much changed at all, really, when looking at the top four teams. But when it comes to the entire slate, we'll take a full look at all of the rankings. You'll find out where Michigan State rose to. MSU actually had the biggest rise out of every team in the second batch of rankings. We'll tell you where the Spartans sit. We'll also invite to the show Matt Marks, who is a representative from the Grow and Give campaign for Movember. He works at Zero, which promotes the end of prostate cancer. Matt will join us around the 1:30 mark to tell about that really admirable philanthropic endeavor. I'm actually growing out. I don't know if you guys can tell. I got the 5 o'clock shadow going right now. I do this every single year, but I'm growing out my beard and putting the razor down for the entire month to promote men's health, and specifically, of course, prostate cancer. That's what, unfortunately, my grandfather passed away back in 2011. Then on the back end of the show, we'll talk Detroit Lions and evaluate their playoff chances now that they, of course, topped the Green Bay Packers on Monday Night Football out at Lambeau Field. Also, I really want to unpack these two ESPN and Sports Illustrated articles written on Miles Bridges. If you have not read either one, you are certainly missing out. I thought I read the SI article and thought that was so good. And I had no idea ESPN, the magazine, was putting out an article as well. I enjoyed the ESPN article even more than the Sports Illustrated article. So we'll talk about Miles Bridges and a few takeaways from those two pieces, as well as the Detroit Pistons, who will invite the Indiana Pacers to Little Caesars Arena tonight. All of that while, of course, allowing you to be a part of the fun. Multiple ways in which you can do so. 517-355-WKAR is the number to call. 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/currentsports to watch the live stream and comment below. And tweet us at Al Martin. WKAR is my Twitter handle. Or you can tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. right, and we start with the college football playoff rankings. The second rankings revealed last night on ESPN, and unchanged from last week's top four, the College Football Playoff Committee released its rankings for the four best teams in college football, and even, you know, of course, they ranked the entire top 25 in their eyes. Now, the position stayed the same this week in the top four. Georgia ranked number one, Alabama number two, Notre Dame at three, and Clemson in the fourth slot. Oklahoma was the first team on the outside looking in at number five, followed by TCU, Miami, Wisconsin, Washington, and Auburn, jumping 12 spots since last week's poll with an upset over Penn State at Spartan Stadium. Michigan State, the second best Big Ten team in the top 25. They had the largest jump ever in the college football playoff poll. How about that? The Ohio State Buckeyes, they dropped seven spots to number 13, right behind Michigan State at number 12, after losing to Iowa on the road. Now, Michigan State will travel to Columbus to take on the Buckeyes this Saturday for a noon kickoff. The winner will likely represent the Big Ten East at Lucas Oil Stadium in the Big Ten Championship game, which in the West, it looks like Wisconsin is going to come out the victor there. So whoever wins the East will take on the Badgers. We'll unpack the college football playoff rankings in just a moment. As of Tuesday night, the GoFundMe.com page set up by Michigan State University's Josh Butler has raised over $8,000 for the funeral of his father, who passed away sadly on Saturday. The account has been set up to take care of the funeral arrangements for Butler's father, Stephen. The devastating news came prior to Michigan State's game against number 7 Penn State. Originally, Butler only asked for $5,000, but received, as you see, much more support. MSU football dedicated that win one Saturday to Josh Butler, and many fans and friends have raised over $8,000 for that MSU sophomore corner. Quote, so the situation is that my dad didn't have insurance, and the funeral will be $5,000 by Friday. That's what Butler actually posted on the fundraising website. So a great outpouring of support for Butler and his family there. MSU wrestler Yavier Gaska, he won the Big Ten Wrestler of the Week yesterday after his performance in the Michigan State Open this past Sunday. This is Gaska's second time winning the MSU Open at 141, with the first one coming his sophomore year at 131. Gaska, who came into the MSU Open ranked number 9 by Flow Wrestling, claimed his third MSU Open title on Sunday, beating three ranked opponents. Number 12, Eli Stickley from Wisconsin. Number 16, Sal Profaki of Michigan. And number 14, Michael Longo of Oklahoma. The Spartans will next travel to Ypsilanti this Saturday to compete in the EMU Open. The MSU women's gymnastics team added one gymnast in the early signing period for the 2018-19 season on Wednesday. Today, signing Sydney Ewing out of Allen High School in Frisco, Texas. Ewing is also a member of the World Olympic Gymnastics Academy. Ewing is head coach Mike Rowe's first signing of his tenure, as he took over the program on July 1st after former coach Kathy Klegis retired because of allegations against her, and former MSU doctor Larry Nassar, which allegations against Klegis saying she never reported any sexual abuse between Nassar and some gymnasts. The Spartans will kick off the 2018 season when they hold the annual green and white meet on November 17th at 6 p.m. inside of Jennison Fieldhouse. The first official meet of the season for the Spartans is on January 5th of next year, 2018, 6 p.m., when the squad will host Bowling Green in a dual meet. The Detroit Pistons, for the first time this season, the Pistons will host the Indiana Pacers. The Pistons currently sit at 7-3, best 10-game start since 08-09, sitting atop the Central Division and second in the Big Ten, second in the NBA's Eastern Conference, trailing only the Boston Celtics by a game and a half. Tonight, the Pistons will be without John Luer, though, who is out with an ankle sprain, and Stanley Johnson is questionable as well with a hip flexor. The Pistons are currently on a 2-game win streak, while the Indiana Pacers come in tonight on a 3-game losing streak. I believe they played the New Orleans Pelicans last night.
They did. They lost a very close nail-biter at the end, but great game. And the Pacers have actually started off the year pretty hot as well.
Yeah, they certainly have. They're having a great start to the year, and Victor Oladipo is really playing well for that team. All right, LeBron James posted an author meme. You guys know Author, the famous cartoon, right? He posted an author meme following his former teammate Kyrie Irving's 35-point performance against the Atlanta Hawks 2 days ago. leading the Celtics to its ninth straight win. Now, this led many to believe that James was taking a stab at Irving. It was a picture of Arthur's fist. Others say it was due to frustration from the Cavaliers' slow start. Now, on Tuesday, the Golden State Warriors and former Michigan State basketball great Draymond Green responded in his own way, posting a picture with his tongue out, looking really happy and jolly with the same caption as LeBron's. Ah, Draymond Green, he is always trolling, isn't he? Green says he was not trolling, though, James at all. So, who knows? I'm not buying that, Draymond. All right. UCLA basketball players, including LiAngelo Ball, younger brother of LA Lakers rookie Lonzo Ball, along with Cody Riley and Jalen Hill, they were released on bail early today in China after being arrested for allegedly shoplifting from a Louis Vuitton store on Tuesday. Ball, Riley, and Hill were questioned on suspicion that they stole sunglasses from the store next to UCLA's hotel in China. The Bruins were staying there before leaving for Shanghai this morning. They were released around 4 a.m. today and are required to remain at their hotel until the legal process is over. UCLA is in China to play Georgia Tech for its season opener on Friday. And last but not least, former Indiana Hoops coach Bob Knight said on an episode of Undeniable with Joe Buck that he's, quote, never been a John Wooden fan, end quote. Wooden being the legendary UCLA basketball coach. Knight said in an interview that he has a lot of respect for Wooden as a coach, how he coached, and liked him as a person. But after the coach's aspects of Wooden, he said he doesn't respect Wooden because he allowed UCLA booster Sam Gilbert, quote, to do whatever it took to recruit kids, end quote. UCLA received a one-year postseason ban, if you remember, back in 1981 and had his 1980 national championship appearance vacated over Gilbert's actions. However, the NCAA violations were cited during the Wooden era. Knight said in the interview, quote, I think John was called in and told he didn't have to worry about recruiting, that they had people that would take care of that for him, end quote. Now, you can catch that full interview, Joe Buck's interview with Bob Knight, tonight at 8 p.m. on the Audience Network. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Here we go.
As Mark D'Antonio would get another National Coach of the Year award after going 3-9 last year and potentially winning a Big Ten championship. Now, of course, they have to win in Columbus and still have a lot of wood to chop. I think the answer to that, instead of just saying they have no shot or saying they're in for sure, it depends on what happens in front of them. They would need help. Very clearly, they would need help to be able to get all the way up into the four. But we just saw them jump 12 spots, so... And we all know that there's going to be a lot of upsets. So if they keep winning, they'll be in the discussion. And with the resume that they have, they'll have something to say about it. But like I said, they still have a long way to go.
Yeah, how about that? Kirk Herbstreit weighing in on Michigan State possibly making the college football playoff. What exactly would the Spartans have to do in order to make the playoff? I was a bit surprised at that response from Kirby when he was asked that by Reese Davis on the second second playoff ranking show. It's not the selection show just yet, right? But the college football playoff rankings, the latest batch came out, selected by a group of 13 people. And, of course, it has the college football world buzzing yet again. And, again, we got four more of these. Three more leading up to the final one, right? And before I push forward, I do want to acknowledge the news of Roy Halladay. Two-time Cy Young Award-winning pitcher who retired from baseball nearly 4 years ago. He sadly passed away yesterday when his plane crashed into the Gulf of Mexico. He was just 40 years old. He was flying in Icon A5. That's the name of the plane. It's a small single-engine aircraft. It went down around noon off the coast of Florida. And the Marine unit, the Sheriff's Office Marine unit, responded and found Halladay's body in shallow water. Just sad news that just shook the sporting world yesterday. So thoughts and prayers to everyone that knew Roy Halladay. Thoughts and prayers to his family. I saw many tributes coming in via social media, and ESPN had multiple tributes throughout their broadcast yesterday. So definitely wanted to acknowledge the sad, unfortunate passing of Roy Halladay. To less important matters now, the college football playoff, folks, the latest batch of college football playoff rankings, again, they were released, and there is a little bit of debate, I should say, when looking at the final rankings. And, you know, that means, well, I should say leading up to the final rankings, right? Because, again, we have four more weeks of this. So that means that there are three more weeks of barbershop talk amongst your homies about why your team or conference deserves to be one of the final four left standing. Now, as of right now, again, the top four teams remain unchanged in comparison to last week. Number one, Georgia. Two, Alabama. Three, Notre Dame. Four, Clemson. Oklahoma and TCU sit right on the outside looking in at 5 and 6, respectively. Both Oklahoma and TCU actually play one another this weekend, and TCU, a team I believe has the best defense in the Big 12. That's not saying a lot, though, because Big 12 teams just don't play defense. And MSU, OSU, and Penn State all come in at 12th, 13th, and 14th. MSU, the biggest rise, going from 24th to 12th. And as I mentioned in our headliners, that's the biggest rise in the college football playoff rankings history. 12 spots. They jumped 12 spots, folks. That was followed by, when it comes to the biggest rises of teams when evaluating the top 25, that was followed by Washington State from 25 to 19th. Then USC from 17th, excuse me, to 11th. And then Iowa, which was unranked, now sitting at 20th with that win against Ohio State this past weekend. Now, if MSU wins out, as you heard Kirk Herbstreit say, Mark D'Antonio certainly deserves the Coach of the Year award. That National Coach of the Year award is just sitting on the mantle right now, waiting for him to take it. And, you know, when kicking around the debate right now, because I know Spartan fans are riding high, you just beat Penn State, now you're going the road to Columbus, Ohio, and have an opportunity to get another notable victory over the Ohio State Buckeyes, a team that's chomping at the bit to get right back at it because they got embarrassed against the Iowa Hawkeyes last weekend. But it all depends. If you want your Michigan State football team to make the playoff this year, it all depends what happens in front of the Spartans. When you evaluate the resume of Michigan State right now, the strength of the Spartans' win-loss record is actually ranked 10th in comparison to the teams that have been ranked in the college football playoff thus far. They are 1-2 versus the college football playoff top 25. The biggest falls when looking at the latest batch of rankings. Ohio State fell from 6th to now 13th. Penn State fell from 7th to 14th with that loss against the Spartans. And Iowa State went from 15th to the 21st. But again, Michigan State, if they want to have an argument that they deserve to be in the top four when it's said and done, when you look at teams like Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, they have to hope that a few of those teams have some losses here as we approach the final stretch of the college football season. Now, what I really need people to watch for and understand when looking at these rankings is that this is why we no longer have a computer ranking system, folks. The job of this committee is to make sure that the four best teams are in the dance. That is regardless of a Power 5 conference championship. Now, you can boo-hoo about that all you want, but the message that the committee is sending is that we're taking a lot more into account, whether than just if you've won your conference championship. And I think that's the right message to send right now. Now, you can boohoo all you want about it, and you're going to continue to boohoo about it until, which I believe is going to happen. I don't know when, but it's going to happen. They are going to expand this thing from 4 to maybe 8. I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. But until then, you know, not everybody is going to get a trophy here. You know, the questions you have to ask as it concerns your team, whoever that may be, is show me your strength of schedule. Who did your team play and beat? What does your resume look like? And do you pass the eye test in comparison to some of the other top teams in college football? This is why I don't believe that a Wisconsin team, if they happen to go undefeated, they happen to go to Indy and beat whatever rep is coming out of the Big Ten East, that team out of the Big Ten East is already going to have at least 2 losses. I don't know if you can put Wisconsin in. I'm not putting Wisconsin in. You talk about the eye test. Wisconsin, first off, they haven't played anybody. But when you look at this team, do you really think Wisconsin is better than Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, or Clemson? Heck, even Oklahoma and TCU for that matter right now. Resume doesn't really pop out at you. It really doesn't. I think this year, the committee has their work cut out for them. This is going to be a really challenging year for them to select the top four. It really is. Maybe more so. I mean, what is it now, Isaac? What, in this third year now?
Third year, yep.
Third year that they've implemented the college football playoff ranking system. And I do believe this may be the most difficult year. You know, you look at Georgia, you know, Jake Fromm, he's looking good as of recently. But for me, the question that I have, and I looked at some film late last night, is can he throw on third and long situations? They will play Auburn this weekend. And you have Jarrett Stidham, who's the quarterback for Auburn. He's going to be tested. He really is going to be tested against that Georgia defense. Alabama right now. Alabama has injuries, folks. You know, Alabama still has Mississippi State and Auburn left on that schedule. The offense did not look great against Isaac's LSU Tigers on Saturday. It did, that offense struggled a bit, Isaac. I was very impressed at moments in that game what LSU was able to do against that Alabama offense. Now, Alabama, though, and I feel like a lot of people aren't bringing this up. Alabama did beat Florida State at the time, a Florida State team that was ranked number 2 in the nation. You can't forget that, because I do believe that Florida State was playing some really good football when Alabama and FSU met up. But now you look at these injuries. I mean, can these young pups step up? You know, Chris Allen, who's a 5-star linebacker, but he's young. Dylan Moses at the linebacker position as well. He's young. They have to come in and play and really have an immediate impact for just being, you know, just getting on campus, really. And you look at, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick, defensive back for Alabama. I know he was injured with a hamstring injury against LSU. He went down in that game. That's a big name that if he's not 100% healthy, it's going to hurt that Alabama defense. Rashawn Evans at linebacker being reported that he also is not 100%. Alabama, I mean, these next 3 weeks are going to be trying for them because of injuries. And right now, something that we haven't really seen from this Alabama defense that we're seeing recently is that, you know, Alabama prides itself on that defensive line. That defensive line is always stout and can get to the quarterback and cause many problems in the backfield. But that defensive line, again, due to multiple things and, again, injuries, they haven't been getting to the quarterback like they usually like we've usually seen in the past few years here. And we're starting to see, you know, some blitzes from that Alabama defense now. So how Alabama deals with the injuries, these young five-star prospects on that defensive end are going to have to really step it up. Oklahoma. Oh, Oklahoma's interesting because they've got this high-powered offense. Arguably, I believe it's the best offense in the nation. I mean, this offense could throw up 40 on Alabama right now, I think. I mean, Baker Mayfield is playing that good. Oklahoma could crack the top four. I mean, they have a strength of schedule ranked at fourth right now. They're 2-1 against college football playoff top 25 teams. They have, you know, that notable win against, at the time, number 13. Number 13, Ohio State. Ohio State is ranked 13th in this latest batch of rankings. But they have that notable win at OSU. Baker Mayfield, you know, the flag-planting game. And now they go up against TCU, though. You know, the Horned Frogs. Get this. They have not allowed a touchdown in 13 of the last 16 quarters. So now you have what I believe is college football's best offense going against a very stingy Horned Frogs defense. That's going to be fun to watch. And I think if Baker Mayfield comes out, and I expect that he will come out and have a fabulous game, he will be leading the Heisman Trophy conversation. Then you have to really start looking at Oklahoma in this conversation for the top four as well. Clemson. I believe Clemson right now, from top to bottom, both sides of the football, they are the best team in college football. Kelly Bryant with a healthy ankle, knock on wood. Kelly Bryant with a healthy ankle. He reminds me so much of Deshaun Watson. And even though that defense has given up some points, Clemson right now I think is the most complete team. They have a strength of schedule in relation to the college football playoff, ranked at third. They are 3-0 against college football playoff top 25 teams and have a notable win over number 10, Auburn. I really like Clemson, and I believe Clemson is going to be in the dance come that final ranking. Notre Dame is interesting. And right now, if you are Michigan State and you are looking at things at the top four, Notre Dame is a team that you're keying in on right now that you're hoping will fall. Notre Dame will play the U. Miami. It's actually the Catholics versus Convicts game. Have you seen that 30 for 30, Isaac?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Great stuff, right? I loved it, man. Absolutely loved Catholics versus Convicts. So Catholics versus Convicts this Saturday, Notre Dame and Miami. And right now, according to ESPN, I saw this last night, a Notre Dame win would give them a 57% chance to finish in the playoff, but a loss would give them only a 1% chance to finish in the big dance. How about that? Now, a Miami win. Miami's very interesting as well. And by the way, I love the turnover chain that they have rolling on the sidelines. Anytime a turnover happens, whoever recovers that turnover, they get a chain and they rock it throughout the rest of the game on the sidelines at least. But a Miami win would give them, according to ESPN's numbers, a 73% chance to finish in the playoff. Take that as you wish, okay? Those are just numbers. We don't know what's going through the minds of the playoff committee. We kind of do, and I think they're sending, you know, messages as we lead up to the final rankings, but who knows? You know, take that as you wish. Those are just numbers. Numbers mean nothing now, and that's what I like because you don't have a computer system now. You've got 13 qualified people in the room saying, hey, you know, these teams, based on strength of schedule, based on the eye test, blah, 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 these teams deserve to be in the final dance. Miami, though, has barely beaten Georgia Tech, barely beaten Florida State, and barely beaten UNC. And that's the thing I look at with Miami. Okay, they look good right now, undefeated. Very impressive win over Virginia Tech this past weekend, but they barely squeaked by a few games here. If they knock off Notre Dame, though, oh, you better believe that is going to get that 13-member committee very excited. Very excited. I want to roll in the bite. Do we have this queued up, Isaac? From actually Kirby Hocut, who is the athletic director at Texas Tech. He is the chairman of the committee. And Reese Davis tried to poke the bear a bit and get him to kind of open up about, you know, where he sees certain teams, you know, possibly moving up, you know, when it comes to the top four conversation. And what's really interesting is that when Kirby, you know, he was asked by Reese Davis, you know, what is the difference right now between one and two, between Georgia and Alabama? And Kirby kind of danced around the question, but then honed in and gave a solidified answer, saying the difference right now between Georgia and Alabama is because right now Georgia's number one because they beat Notre Dame. I like that. Finally, he gave us a concrete answer with that. Now, again, we all pretty much guessed that, right? That's why Georgia's resume right now sits atop of Alabama's in the rankings. Now, when Kirby was asked by Reese Davis about the undefeated teams, this is what he had to say.
Is there anyone in the room who has been adamant that the fact that staying unbeaten should count for a little bit more than maybe it has in the past at times?
You know, everyone in the room stays focused on our charge, and our charge is simple. It's to rank the top 25 teams and ultimately select the very best four teams for inclusion into the semifinals. So that's what we keep our focus on. What are the very best football teams? Who are the very four best teams in the country this week and throughout the top 25?
I love that. I love that answer from Kirby because, again, folks, stop crying me a river about, oh, my team didn't get in because why didn't my team get in? We won a conference championship. This is why the system has changed now, okay? Who are the four best teams? When you look at these teams, who are the four best? That is their job. Undefeated is only one of the criteria you should evaluate because looking at Wisconsin right now, I mean, they play just fluff. And then Wisconsin will go to Indy, play whatever rep from the Big Ten East. If they do go undefeated, I mean, you sit there and said, okay, you coasted your way in the Big Ten West all the way to Indy. Yeah, you won the conference championship, but in comparison to other teams, I'm not putting you in. I need people to understand that because there are a lot of fans that I saw that were crying, and a few of them, you know, that I know, college football fans that I know, a few of them text me. You know, they tune into the show and text me and said, oh, my goodness, why is Wisconsin ranked so low? I mean, who have they beaten? They got to prove themselves. So it's interesting right now. And I think, you know, I haven't gotten your thoughts on this yet, Isaac. But, you know, UGA, I think that they remain right now the simple choice for numero uno. Beating Notre Dame puts them above Alabama right now. And I must say, I'm a bit concerned about Nick Saban's Crimson Tide, just based off the injuries to key positions defensively for this team. Do you agree with the rankings remaining at the top four unchanged right now, Isaac?
Top four I love so far. What I would push back against is I think Bama's going to be fine. And it's because what they lost on defense, they make up on offense by quite a ways. Because Alabama, of course, when you look at that team, they're returning starting QB Jalen Hurts, and he's got a lot of help in that backfield, too, with Bo Scarborough and Calvin Ridley as a wideout. So they're actually averaging the 17th most points per game in the nation right now, or yards per game, excuse me. I think Alabama will be fine, although they'll have their defensive struggles. With that being said, resume alone, Georgia has to be number one right now. So, yeah, overall, I agree with the rankings without a doubt. But I also have to say that undefeated, I am happy that the committee is pushing back against this because the reason is Wisconsin could have elected to play a strong non-conference team. They did not. They did not. And now they might be punished for that, which is fair to the teams that actually pushed themselves. So, no, for the first time, I'm very happy with the way the committee's handled this. This is actually the fourth playoff. I looked it up. That's upcoming. There have been three prior. And this is the first time that I can really say that I feel like they've nailed down the protocol for selecting the top four.
I want to throw this out there before we hit our first break and welcome Matt Marks to the show of the Grow and Give campaign. The committee goes by two things, strength of schedule and eyeballing, really. Eyeballing is so big, and that's what I love about this new system. Get this. Based on 3 years here, now the fourth year, as you just mentioned, Isaac, here are the schedule benchmarks for playoff contention. 100% of playoff teams so far, now entering the fourth year, but so far, based on the last 3 years, 100% of playoff teams have done this. One, finish with one or fewer losses. Michigan State, I don't know, man. If they win the Big Ten, again, 100%, Isaac, of the teams that have made the playoff has finished with one or fewer losses. Also, 100% of playoff teams have done this as well. Beat at least three teams ranked in the committee's December 3rd top 25. So we'll see how that ends up as the weeks move along here. 92% have done this. Win a Power 5 conference. So again, 92 gives you that leeway. Mm-hmm. There's an 8% chance that a team who does not win a power conference based on the last 3 years has gone on to make the playoffs.
And we'll probably see that again this year with either Alabama or Georgia.
Exactly. I do believe that as well. And then 100% have also done this, beat at least six teams that have a 500-plus record on December 3rd. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will welcome to the show Matt Marks of the Grow and Give campaign. We'll also take your calls. I see you, Apache. Don't go anywhere. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We will be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat about the latest batch of college football playoff rankings, and your Michigan State Spartans sit right now at 12th, and your top four remain unchanged. You have Georgia, Alabama, Notre Dame, and Clemson as your top four, Oklahoma and TCU at 5 and 6. Thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also want to mention this. We have our intern, Jacob Herbert, at the Breslin Center right now as we speak, covering the Tom Izzo press conference, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team. And I'm seeing a lot of tweets via my Twitter feed from a few beat reporters who are present at the press conference. And I'll be there later on this afternoon around 6 p.m. to conduct player interviews at the Breslin. But, you know, there was talk about whether or not Tom Izzo's team was going to do anything to respond to, you know, what we've seen in the sports world, specifically in the NFL with kneeling taking place during the national anthem. Izzo addressed it a bit during his media day press conference. And Izzo said that his team will wear a shirt that will read, "We talk and we listen." Love that. So they're going to do that collectively. I don't know if it's going to be an all-season thing, but I am seeing that news come in via Twitter. Line one right now, we've got Apachu from East Lansing. Have not heard from you in a while, Apachu. How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I just got out the clinic, man. I'm just not recovering from that MSU loss. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sure you are. Oh, but what a year they're having, right? My goodness.
Hey, congratulations, man. That Penn State game was great, too. Got a lot of respect for D'Antonio. Great coach. He needed to get that big money. Isaac, I hate to see you go, man. You did your homework. I really enjoyed you, man. You was with the Masters. You rolled shotgun for a while, and I really appreciate it. Going to miss you.
Oh, I appreciate that, Pacho. Yeah. Really do.
Yeah.
But you know what? There's another rookie coming up, man. They always end up good. Al must be schooling them, you know.
No, man. We've been very fortunate these last few years with Alex Sharg before Isaac, and now Isaac moving on to bigger and better things. We're going to miss him for sure, Apachu.
Yeah, every single one of our brothers has been good, man. I'm really impressed. And yeah. You got to have something to do with it, and whoever coordinates that show got something to do with it, too. Here's my point. First of all, Bobby Knight, shut up. You know, John Wooden is a great coach because he was one of the first coaches to wholesale recruit black players. Okay, he put his job on the line, and he ended up winning, I guess, what, 10 championships? At the time, black players were not popular in college basketball, and he went ahead and recruited them, and they done them good. And he's not a person to look down on anybody or question anybody's ethics, you know, not Bobby Knight. But I want to say something about – I didn't watch the show last night on the football rankings. I'll wait until Michigan gets within 12 because I'd like to see us get a good bowl game, and that may or may not happen. But I did notice when I do watch it that they got, what, two Ohio State boys – Joey and what's the other dude's name? Herbstreet?
Yeah, Kirk Herbstreet. Mm-hmm.
And I got to wonder, after he made a comment, that the compliments he made about Michigan State, and I got to wonder if he's juicing up Michigan State to, in the end, plant that seed and benefit Ohio State if they beat Michigan State. Because then they're going to say, oh, my God, they not only beat Penn State, they beat Michigan State, you know. So I got to wonder if they got their own personal reasons for doing that. But lastly, the Big Ten to me – And I'm an amateur, and I'm just an observer. But the Big Ten, to me, I think in the last couple of years has been the best conference in football. It doesn't always show up in postseason. But and within that conference, I think it's the East Division, Penn State, Michigan, and Ohio State. Man, I don't see how they can get to the a Final Four on a continual basis because they're going to beat each other up year after year. They get good players. They got good coaches. And right now the SEC is not the SEC of the past. You got a couple good teams maybe, and everybody else is seems to be mediocre. So what are your thoughts on that? If they don't realign, take some of those teams out of the East and put them in the West, I think we're going to have problems. We're going to really, really have problems.
Agree.
So, anyway, I'd like to get your thoughts on that, bro. Hey, good luck, Isaac.
Thanks, Pacho. Really appreciate it, man.
When are you leaving town?
Mid-December, right?
Yeah, mid-December for me, going back to New Orleans for a few weeks after that.
Okay, I'll be hollering at you before you take off, man.
Oh, absolutely. Look forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Apache. Yeah, I agree with Apache. I mean, that's where I was going. There needs to be a conference realignment because you got these teams in the Big Ten East, in Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, that are going to beat up on each other. And at the end of the day, you're going to have a situation where you have a squad that has at least two losses going to Indy and playing whoever that winner is from the West that has gone relatively unscathed throughout their respective schedule and match it up. And then you look at it and compare it to – now, again, and that's why I like having this 13-person committee because, you the eyeball test. I mean, when you look at whoever wins that Big Ten championship game, if it's Wisconsin or if it's whatever rep is from the Big Ten East – And let's just say, and I kicked around this idea as well, let's just say Wisconsin goes on to blow out, you know, teams the rest of the way here, which I don't know if that'll happen, especially in the Big Ten championship game. I think Wisconsin will probably lose from whoever that representative is from the East. But let's just say if they just blew out competition the rest of the way, I think the committee, again, based on the eyeball test, if you blow out teams convincingly there, they're going to look at that and say, okay, maybe we do need to consider Wisconsin in the top four. Do I think that's going to happen? No. It's going to take a lot of help and a lot of teams, you know, who are presently, at least two teams who are presently in the top four need to finish the year bad. That's what's going to have to happen here. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports before we hit this second break. I want to invite this brother on the show, as we customarily do each and every year around this time of the year, to talk about a really cool campaign that is charging individuals out there to raise money and awareness. It is Men's Health Awareness Month, and this is a really cool campaign that targets prostate cancer and raising money to fight prostate cancer. Right now, we have a dear friend of the show, Matt Marks, a rep
from the Grow and Give campaign. He's also a big Spartan fan, actually an MSU alum as well. Matt, how you doing?
Wow, friend of the show. That is an honor.
Of course, Matt. Come on now. Anybody who comes on Current Sports at least twice, you automatically become a friend of the show, all right?
I'll take it. I take that shirt size in 3X.
Gotcha, man. So, Matt, without wasting any time here, tell us about the Grow and Give campaign and tell our listeners how they can get involved.
Absolutely. It's simple enough. You grow out facial hair. If women want to grow out leg hair or whatever, we don't want to discriminate in any way, but you spread the word. You raise a little bit of cash for ending prostate cancer. As you know, prostate cancer is the third leading cancer killer in men, kills a little over 26,000 per year, and that's every 20 minutes. So this is an incredibly important disease to try to end, which I know, Al, you've got connections to in your family as well as I do in mine. Mm-hmm. So we're out here to raise awareness and raise funds to end the disease.
Yeah, and elaborating on that personal connection that you have to this heinous disease, Matt, what inspired you to become a part of it and what happened in your own family?
Well, I was a few years back when I was looking for a job, I saw that there's an opportunity to come over here at Zero, the End of Prostate Cancer. We actually just had our inaugural run walk in the Lansing area about a month back, that Minnesota game weekend. So we are in the community. And my grandfather's a prostate cancer survivor, and the only way that he's still living is because they found it early. And prostate cancer, if found early, has nearly 100% five-year survival rate. But if you don't catch it in time, that drops down to 30%, and that is a huge difference. And the only way you find that is by staying on top of your health, going to the doctor, making sure you get your PSA numbers checked, getting your prostate exam. As uncomfortable as that may be, it can save your life, and it is necessary.
Thank you for that information, Matt. And, you know, with you being a part of Zero, the End of Prostate Cancer, you know, a lot of males, as you know, Matt, don't like going to the doctor. And I'm sure when you're talking about this, there are a lot of men out there listening saying, oh, I'm good. I don't need to go to the doctor. I feel fine. I feel healthy. There's that stubbornness that kicks in. I mean, what do you say to those men who have that kind of mindset? And because I'm trying to convince members of my family, you know, my uncles and my dad, to go to the doctor and get checked up, because, again, it does run in the Martin household. How do I go about trying to get them at the doctor's office? I mean, is there a technique to it, you know, when it comes to talking to them about it?
I think every man's different, but I will say this. If you consider how often prostate cancer is diagnosed, 1 in 8 American men, and that has gone up from 1 in 7, but we're not entirely sure that's because of anything more than a couple simple decisions that have happened at the government level that have led to less men getting checked. But if you know that 1 in 8 men get diagnosed with prostate cancer in their lifetime, and prostate cancer is a disease that has absolutely no symptoms, none whatsoever, until it is too late. One day you might feel a little achy, your joints hurt, your bones hurt. You go into the doctor and they find out that you have prostate cancer. At that point, it is too late, and now you are at that 30%. So, you know, it's tough to say, it's tough to comprehend, but if you realize that this is such a commonly diagnosed cancer and there are no symptoms until it is too late, you have to go get checked, because you know, we all have families we need to provide for, and this is too important to ignore and say that you're good.
Matt, is there any other way other than getting checked that men out there can help prevent prostate cancer?
Yeah, diet and exercise, regular diet and exercise is good. We like to say that a heart-healthy diet is a prostate-healthy diet. So, you know, following those guidelines from the American Heart Association, for instance, that can help mitigate your chance for prostate cancer. Staying active is very important. And that on top of being regularly caught up on your health screenings can lead you to hopefully not get it. But if you do get it, catch it early enough that there's no adverse side effects.
Matt, I want you to kind of just tell us about the Grow and Give campaign. Of course, men out there, and as you stated, women, if they want to grow out their leg hair, I guess. But for me, you see me, I got the 5 o'clock shadow going. Men out there, they put the razor down and they give. How can they give out there?
Well, there's a few different ways, and I see you watching this show on the Facebook Live feed that you're itching it every couple of minutes.
I think I'm
in that phase as well, my man.
Yes, I'm hitting that. That's like the worst phase, isn't it? When you're growing it out, you hit that phase where you just cannot stop itching. It is so annoying, but once you get over that hump, you're like smooth sailing.
Exactly. And that's what I tell people. If you can survive that 1 week where it's kind of itchy, one, it's going to look great. I actually didn't end up completely shaving my beard that I grew last year. I kept it, you know, I maintained it, of course, but yeah. I kept it for the whole year until Halloween night when I shaved it completely clean and we're starting over. But
okay.
The way you can get involved is by going to zerocancer.org/grow. You can create a team of your friends, your family, your company, maybe, if you want to do a friendly office wager. And using our online tool, you'll be able to donate money and raise money. And, of course, all the donations are tax deductible. So I've got a team, and Al, I'm about to call you out.
I know you. Always, I was trying to jump the gun and get there before you could, but you already done it. Go ahead.
No way. You know, even if you did, I would have called you out anyway. Al's been promising to all his viewers. He's been promising for about 2 weeks now that he'd hop on the team, and
yes.
I think we can shame him into doing it today.
I am a man of my word.
I'm going to post a little something for you.
Yeah, please do. I'm a man of my word. I am signing up. Again, this hits too close to home for me. It's my late grandfather. I told you, he passed away in 2011 from, of course, prostate cancer. So I got you, Matt. And again, I'm challenging all of our listeners out there. Get involved because this is a disease, and just cancer in general is a disease that most of us, if not all of us, have been affected by in one way or another. Matt Marks of Zero, the End of Prostate Cancer, talking about the Grow and Give campaign. Matt, will be sure to put information on our website as well as our Facebook page about it.
You're the man. And I should say real quick before I go,
yeah.
I had a burn, so I got to come back and redeem myself. My mother came and visited my sister, who's a sophomore, and she was at Midnight Madness, and she told me that this guy who was the MC did such a wonderful job.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you know, that's pretty funny. That's actually a buddy of mine. I'm a friend of the show, you might say.
But I appreciate those kind words. Tell him I said thank you from the bottom of my heart. Really appreciate that, Matt. Thanks for passing that along.
My pleasure, man.
You got it. My man, Matt Marks. Matt, we'll be in touch, all right, bud?
For sure. Go green.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by, speaking of MSU men's basketball, touching on the two national articles done on Spartan phenom Miles Bridges. I'll try to unpack it as best as I can in the 5 minutes we have left. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with Matt Marks, representative from Zero, the End of Prostate Cancer, as Matt came on to promote the Grow and Give campaign. Men all across the nation are growing out their facial hair to raise awareness when it comes to men's health, and Matt is a part of raising awareness when it comes to prostate cancer. Great guy, great interview, talking about an even greater cause. All right, so we'll be sure to put information about that on our Facebook page as well as our website, included in the podcast that we post after each and every Current Sports. We have another caller, one of our dear friends online too. It's Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's up?
Skipper,
how you doing, man?
I ain't been able to call, talk to you all week. That big upset over Penn State over the weekend.
What a game. What a game, Ray. Where were you watching that at, and what was your response to that game?
I watched that field goal, but I got a kick out of one thing.
You got a kick?
Yeah, big kick. you know the head coach of Penn State?
Yeah, James
Franklin.
He ran
into the tunnel and pulled that player back to go back on the field?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what he told him?
He said, act with class, basically. I mean, yeah.
He said, I'm the skipper around here. I'm getting those gumdrops in that clubhouse before you do. Right. Remember them gumdrops?
I know what you're talking about. You find a way. We could be talking about Michigan State and Penn State. You find a way to take a jab at the University of Michigan somehow, some way, don't you?
No, those gumdrops that was thrown in Barkley's mouth.
What? Now you lost. Do you know what Ray's talking about right now, Isaac?
I'm lost, too.
I am lost, Ray. Please explain. What in the world are you talking about?
You didn't see when they had that 3.5 hour delay. They had it on TV over and over and over that Barkley and the Penn State players were throwing gumdrops into Barkley's mouth, and he was catching them.
Well, we were at the game covering the game, Ray, so I didn't see that.
You didn't watch it on the news all this week. They've been showing it over and over.
Nothing about gumdrops being thrown in Saquon Barkley's mouth.
When they had that 3.5 hour delay, the coach let them throw gumdrops into their mouth. That's what I'm teasing him about. That he wanted to get into the clubhouse and get those gumdrops. That's why he rushed back and pulled him back to go back and shake people's hands so he could get those gumdrops.
Ray, no, I did not see that. You totally lost, I think, all of our audience.
Well, you guys need to check it out.
I'll check that. That's going to be priority number one.
You think they would be doing something better with their time than that.
Ray, we only got a minute left. Ray, thank you so much, man. That was pretty funny.
Check it out.
I will. Ray from Indiana. That's how you end the current sports show, Isaac.
That's amazing. Oh. We saw in the news about the pizza, because they got pizza delivered to them, but not gumdrops. Oh. Gumdrops is one of a kind.
Current sports, folks, you just never know what we're going to hit you with. Ray from Indiana, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy. All right, we have to bid you all adieu. We'll be back at it same time, same place with tomorrow's current sports. We have Aaron Harris, former MSU men's basketball player, co-hosting the show on Friday. So great rest of the week in store, final 2 days in store for you guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Be easy, people.